Good morning and welcome. Service continues on page 355 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 355. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to join me in saying the Gloria found on page 356. Glory to God in highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 22 by 9. My praises go to him in the great assembly.
I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him.
May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall bow before him.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
He rules over the nations.
To him alone, all who speak in the earth bow down and worship.
All who bow to dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him.
And they shall be known as the Lord's forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn.
The saving Jesus and he has come.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love is revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Please be seated. Last week we heard one of the Gospel of John's Jesus I Am sayings. It was, I am the Good Shepherd, and we talked about what it's like to follow the Good Shepherd, to be led by him, fed by him, and he restores my soul. Today we have another I am saying. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. In the Hebrew scriptures, the people of Israel are often known as the vineyard. And the quality of the grapes or the quality of the fruit is often related to how well the people of God are following God's rules. When they abandon God, turn away from God, go their own way, God refers to them as wild grapes with bitter fruit. But on the other hand, when they follow God, he tends and cares for them. We hear it in Psalm 80, verses 8 to 12. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. And then God condemns them and says, why have you broken down its walls? So that all who pass by pluck off its fruit. In other words, why are you wasting yourselves going outside my realm, walking away from me, and wasting your gifts? We also hear in Jeremiah, after the exile, when the people are starting to turn to God, we hear the redemption that takes place, the restoration. In those days, people will no longer say the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, we hear the forgiveness that God does not carry the sin to the seventh generation, but judges each generation on their own deeds. And seeing how the parents strayed, but the children are faithful, the children will be tended like those precious grapes. I think about grapes and berry trees and my fruit trees and how they have that root that goes very, very, very deep. And Jesus talks about that as God. He abides in God. And then Jesus is the branch, the vine, and we are the branches. And I think about when I take care of my grapes and berry bushes and fruit trees, they bear much. But they have to be taken care of. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been pruning. And it's really easy to tell when a raspberry or part of a blueberry bush is dead. or on a fruit tree when it's dead. And we cut away the dead wood because it's never going to produce fruit. And we use it for kindling or for fire. If it doesn't bear fruit, why would we leave it there? I find it a little harder to tell what to prune and what not to prune on the grapes. But we know that pruning is good. And that's what we heard in the gospel. It helps, even in a healthy vine, healthy branch, to have it pruned so it produces even more fruit. And I think about the second summer of my peach tree. I wasn't here, so I wasn't able to cut off a lot of the little baby peaches. And so it wasn't pruned that summer. And yes, it was a bountiful harvest. But the fruit was small, very sweet, but small. And the load so heavy that it broke the branches so that they would never again produce fruit. We don't like to be pruned. We don't like to be told that some of us is dead wood. And over this past year, it might have felt like we would have been pruned a little bit too severely. We have felt cut off from others. The loneliness and isolation for some has been crippling. And we're saying, how do we get back to where we abide, where we dwell, where we stay with others and get that nourishment, that sunlight, that love and care from others? And I think of grapes. They make that little tendril that grabs on, and boy, you can't get it loose. Or I think of a baby's fingers, an infant, when they grab a hold of your hair or your glasses or your necklace, and they're not gonna let go. They're hanging on for dear life. And that's what Jesus is saying that we need to do with him, to cling to him, to abide in him, and let him abide in us. And I've often been fascinated by the word abide, that sense of hanging out, dwelling, lingering, being in a place of just safety and love. And then this week it came to me that the correlation between the words, or the integration between abide and abode. We abide in an abode, but the abode is a place of dwelling. And throughout scripture we hear that the Father in his house, he has many rooms, many mansions where we can abide, dwell, live forever. Psalm 23 says, it ends, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is that like to totally abide in Jesus and have Jesus abide in us? And what we're told is when we abide in him, we produce good fruit. And we have often in our lives come to that place of discernment. Do I do this or do I do this? Do I turn right or left? Do I stay up till 2 a.m. cramming for that exam, hoping to get the best grade? Or do I trust that I know what I'm going to know and get a good night's sleep? And we make those decisions. And then we decide on the next exam, how much fruit did it bear? I think about when I was in college, I had gotten my bachelor's degree and was pondering the many things I could do in life. What was I really meant to do? And I took one of those aptitude exams, and it said that I was meant to be, or I had the aptitude to be a counselor. But then it broke it down and said that means like a therapist or an attorney, a counselor, or a clergy who counsels people. And so I had to make the decision, what do I feel called to do? What do I have the money to do? Because my kids were little at the time. What do I have the time and energy to do? And what's going to produce the most fruit? And so you know that I was a drug and alcohol counselor for many, many, many years. But it was after three people in one day, three unrelated people who didn't know each other in one day who said, when are you going to become a priest, that I took that call a little more seriously. Not at first, but a little more seriously. Hopefully this has produced fruit. When you called me, it was a discernment process for you and for me. And we had to do it in prayer, abiding in God, trusting. And then we know we've made the right choice when it produces fruit. When our path does not produce fruit, God gives us the opportunity to say, I've gone down the wrong road, turn around. And yes, there's consequences and challenges for that. But then we can change direction and produce the fruit. So what is this fruit we're talking about that comes from abiding in God and having that pruning done? And both 1 John and the Gospel of John tell us today, it's love. 1 John says, beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. The fruits that we put out in the world is the love that we show to each other in thought, word, and deed, in time, talent, and treasure. And it's not so I can get something back. It's because I have already been given so much love from God that now I can share of that. I think about I volunteer at the library once a week. It's not because I have a ton of time, but this is how I can give to others, give freely. We all have these ways of giving of ourselves, giving of the love we have been given. And we know it's easier to do that when we dwell in the Lord, when Jesus abides in us. And we know it's harder to do when we turn inward and say, I need, I want, I have to have what's going to benefit me. How am I going to build up my? And we know the more we open our hands to the world, the easier it becomes to love one another as God has loved us. I invite you to think about it as you're driving around and seeing the abundance of this region, the grapes, the orchards, just the beauty of this region, how well tended and cared for it is, and how much fruit it produces, sweet and juicy. This is the invitation to you to let God be the vine, we're the branches, and to produce the fruit. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People is Form 6 on page 392 of the Red Prayer Book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are all at home,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel, and all who seek the truth,
for presiding bishop, our bishop, and all other ministers and bishops, and
for all who serve God and His Church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation, we pray for Gail, Kimberly J., John M., Jim L., Ray, Amanda and Billy, Bob R., Bonnie, Carson, Dan, Laura, Ashlyn, Ben, Jerry, Julian, Cheryl, Jane, Brian, Cheryl, Eliza Jane, and Carolyn, Douglas and Richard, Kathy and Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Marilyn, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Pam, Steve, food pantry, students and teachers, those three fathers, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For our brothers and sisters in India and Pakistan.
Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever
and ever. We pray for all, O God, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Lord Jesus Christ, you sent your apostles, peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of the heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Just a couple of quick announcements. The first announcement is I am on vacation next week, and you are in good hands. If there's a pastoral emergency, please call the wardens. And next week, the service will be led by Jim Grillo. I apologize to the people on Zoom. What a day it's been. The internet is wobbly. The Zoom ID changed without notice. And the host in the back was not able to log into the internet. So they're here, but you know, such is life. I think that's all I have. Is there anything from the congregation? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, has he won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection unto your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite you to come up in a single row to purel your hands before you approach and keep distance between family groups. And then after you receive, return down the side aisles and consume the host when you are back in your pew. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Christ, the bread of heaven. Post-communion prayer can be found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.